I feel like when we first started doing this, we would be really intentional with, like, starting the recording early. Like, we'd be like, always be recording. And then we'd, like... But now we talk so much before we start recording. Yeah.
Oh my god. I mean, if we actually had to, like, record the hour that we were talking, it's like, yes, you probably would get good bumps from it, but the amount of time
it would take so long to, like, weed through it. You'd have to, like, take a note and be like, funny thing we said at 43 yeah, minutes and 7 seconds. Everyone, and welcome to Two White Girls Talk Bollywood. I'm Kim.
And I'm Katie. And we're here to talk about singing and dancing and stealing and Bollywood boys.
Bollywood boys who sometimes, for no apparent reason, steal some jewels. Thieve some jewels.
Yeah. And hearts.
Yeah. Jewel thief is our film for today. Katie, overall thoughts?
You know what? I liked it.
Wow, okay.
I thought it was fun. Do I think it's, like, the best film ever? No.
Yeah.
Do I think it was really, like, a good film? No. But I also don't think it was bad. Like, there was nothing about it that made me think, oh, God. I was just like, I'm here for mindless entertainment, and I feel like I got it.
Good. Okay. I'm glad you feel that way. And I...
Did you hate it?
I think I've made it abundantly clear that I am often here for mindless entertainment. I did not like this movie.
Really?
I did not like it at all.
At all. Sam, I am.
I will not take it on a plane. I will not take it on a train.
Well, but sometimes you want it on a plane, Kim.
Yeah, it might take me on a plane, but I don't want to go with it. I was bored.
Mm.
I was bored through most of the movie. Like, okay, I was expecting, like, high adrenaline and fist fights and intrigue, you know, and again, I wasn't expecting good. I was expecting fun, and I didn't have any fun.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think the reason I wasn't bored was because I had to write down what was happening.
Yeah.
So I didn't really have time to be bored. But it is true. I don't know if this is telling. Usually when we watch a movie, I have to pause a lot to write down kind of like, okay, this is what happened, because I don't want to miss what's happening currently because it's important. I paused about half as much as I normally do.
Yeah.
Which is probably indicative of something. I'm like, okay, yeah, I see something's kind of happening. I can look away for a minute and type up some notes. So that's probably why I wasn't bored.
I think that's very reasonable. And I also, like, for me, I kind of forgot about it. Like, I watched it on Saturday, and we're recording on Tuesday. And when I sat
down... That's not that long.
It's not that long. And when I sat down to look at my notes, I was like, who are any of these people? And I don't remember any of these things, like, the context for why I wrote these things down. Yeah. And then I did as I thought about it more. But, like, you know, it didn't stick with me.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I am glad that you had fun watching it. And I know that we are going to have fun talking about it.
Yeah. And I did enjoy actually seeing Saif Ali Khan, like, fight some people.
Sure.
That was fun.
Yeah. And Kunal Roy Kapoor.
Yeah.
Wait, he was great. That's not who he is.
I was like, that's not his name.
God, I do Kapoor. This all the time. Just Kunal Kapoor. Kunal Roy Kapoor is Aditya Roy Kapoor's brother.
Ah, yes. Yes. Yeah, Kunal Kapoor, was fun to see him again. He fell a little bit flat for me.
I agree.
He was just there as a plot device.
I was really excited when he popped up, and I was like, oh, they're going to do something really fun and interesting with this character. And not so much.
Yeah. He was just there to basically fail again and again and again and be, like, played with by Saif Ali Khan's character.
And to not be cool at all. Like, I think if you're going to have a cool cop, you need to have him be good.
Yeah, like, I thought we were going to get a little bit, like, cat and mouse.
Exactly.
No.
Instead of just, like, I don't know.
Rayhan's fully in control the entire time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But we'll talk about it.
We will talk about it.
Let's go over our cast. So, Jewel Thief was directed by Robbie Gruhl, We have Saif Ali Khan playing Rehan, and we have Kunal Kapoor playing Vikram. But we also have Jaideep Alawat playing Rajan. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make another note here. I wish that the two main characters weren't Rajan and Rehan.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things where I would feel the same way about like a Hollywood movie where it's like, this is Jake and John.
Yeah.
I'd be like, couldn't we have had a little bit of
a little differentiation variety in with names? Yeah, it's helpful.
But that's fine. And then we also have Nikita Dutta playing Farah. We're going to get into it.
Yeah.
I think we will have fun because it is exactly what it was. It was like what I expected it to be.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very reasonable.
Maybe even better than I expected it to be because I fully expected it to be like cringy bad. And it was not cringy bad.
There's a part of me that almost wanted it to be cringy bad. Like, I think I would have liked it more if it had taken some more risks and been a little bit like crazier.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. It does feel like another movie that's kind of just trying to cater to like big budget action flick that audiences will want to come to, but it feels kind of like formulaic.
Well, and I feel like if you're going to make a heist movie, you should either make like Doom or like Happy New Year, like something that's totally ridiculous that people are going to find funny and crazy. And, you know, it might be polarizing, but like the people who enjoy it are going to really enjoy it. Or you need to have it be like really like carefully crafted, like perfectly articulated plot and like really take the audience by surprise, like masterfully design this movie. And it didn't really do either of those things.
I feel like I wonder if it kind of did itself a disservice because it kind of drops hints, not even subtle hints, very big in-your-face hints along the way that, like, Rehan has a different plan going on while, like, the other stuff is happening. And I wonder if they leaned more fully into the, like, he wasn't expecting this either, but wait, twist, he actually planned it this way the whole time.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a very overdone trope in heist movies, but at least it's something. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. I agree.
But it's fine. We'll start with the plot recap. So we open on an art auction happening at a fancy house owned by a rich guy named Rajan. One guest wonders where Rajan is, and another guest tells him that he's finishing up a painting in his studio. Turns out that by painting, they really mean interrogating, because Rajan has his accountant tied to a chair. We learn that the details of Rajan's offshore bank accounts were leaked to Interpol, and he lost 200 crore, and that is why he is now having to auction off some of his art collection. This makes him mad, so he beats the accountant and ultimately kills him. Then, when he's out mingling with his guests, a museum director approaches him. And this was just so blatantly, like, obvious.
Yeah.
They could have been a bit more subtle, but she's like, oh, we could host an exhibit of your collection because, you know, we have this really priceless diamond, the Red Sun, coming to stay at our museum for a bit. And as soon as it leaves, like, we'll have room for your stuff. And so, of course, Rajan's like, cool, noted. I have a plan now.
Do you think part of getting, like, you know, like an art history degree or something that you could then use to become, like, a museum curator, like, don't you think that there should be a class in, like, how to spot a thief?
An art thief? Yeah. Probably.
Or just, like, you know, like, bedside manner type thing of, like, how to not just divulge all the details of your priceless artifacts to random people.
It was just weird. I was like, this is not the normal flow of a conversation.
It's really so not.
the dialogue is a little clunky at times.
A little stilted, yeah.
Yeah. But Rajan then tells one of his guys that he never thought he'd do it, but he has to call him. Yeah, turns out him is Rehan, who is an art thief. And he's chilling in a bathtub watching the news as a reporter talks about how the super expensive necklace was stolen. Spoiler alert, it was him.
I really thought that this necklace was going to come back in some kind of meaningful way.
Yeah, me too.
And I don't understand why he stole it, because it kind of makes it seem like he hasn't stolen much since, you know, the big one, like, in the 90s or whatever. And then suddenly he steals this random emerald necklace. Like, why?
Yeah, I don't know. And I'm wondering if maybe did it have something to do with like the raid that happened on that other like jewel trader's house? Like
maybe
I don't remember seeing the necklace in the background or anything, yeah. But maybe it was.
Maybe there was meant to be a connection there that they then cut out or something.
Yeah, who knows? That seems very optimistic for them, but whatever. And so we kind of follow Rayhan as he's bopping around Budapest, and we see that a car with two guys is following him. Mm-hmm. And these guys are really incompetent, and it's super easy for Rayhan to evade them. But then he spots another guy looking for him, and it's his brother, Avi. Rayhan then asks Avi why he's here to meet him when he hasn't called in 3 years. And Avi says it's about Baba. He tells Rayhan that their father received a donation of 10 crore for his charity hospital from Rajan. But then Rajan's right-hand guy told Avi that it was all dirty money and they could now call the authorities and get Baba arrested and have his whole reputation torn down and really bad stuff.
That's just mean.
That's just wild that can happen. Like,
it's like, this was donated to me. Yeah. Like, I didn't ask for this. I didn't make it dirty.
yeah. It's whatever. It seems really easy to ruin someone's life.
Would they think it would? But no, it wouldn't be a money laundering thing if it was a donation to charity. Like, he wouldn't even be accused of that because they don't have a way to get the money back. Yeah.
Yeah. Unless they're like, you're accepting dirty money to do good in the world.
Yeah. That's not his fault. Like, you can't be blamed for that. Also, I did, when Avi first showed up, I did assume that he was Rayhan's son.
Oh, fun.
Because,
the age difference.
Yeah, Saif Ali Khan, like, has adult children.
Yeah.
But
no. And so Rajan says that they won't ruin Baba's life if Avi tells his brother Rayhan that Rajan would like to meet him. So Avi begs Rayhan for help, but Rayhan says that he used to have a family, but he doesn't anymore because Baba kicked him out. Mm-hmm. But then he finds himself reflecting on what his brother said. And he changes his mind.
Yeah.
And so he calls a lady hacker friend he has back in Mumbai, and something's happening. We don't know yet.
I also really thought this woman was going to have more to do with the movie.
She was really cool. And I'm like, what's her name? We don't know.
No idea. And I was like, there was definitely like a way when she was like, oh, Rayhan. Now I'm getting confused. Rayhan is the good guy, right?
Yes, Rayhan's the good guy. Rajan's the bad guy.
When she was like the way she picked up the phone, I was like, oh, this is like, you know, woman in the chair, love interest. But no.
Yeah. Yeah, she really didn't show up much. I was just like, why is she here?
I don't know.
Who is this person?
They
didn't even have one conversation to be like, you did such a good job for me on that job back in Rio or whatever. Yeah. Like, nothing like that. It just, whatever. It's fine. It's like, there were so many pointless scenes in this movie where they could have embellished more of, like, the personal connections between a lot of different characters, honestly.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, we have all this weird stuff between, like, Rayhan and his father, and it kind of gets resolved, but not really.
And it really comes out of nowhere, too. And I don't think Rayhan comes out very good in it either.
No,
but we'll get to that.
I don't think so either. And then there is kind of like a love story, but like, I'm like, that feels forced and weird.
Yeah, I've got thoughts on that.
So anyway, this is all happening.
Yeah.
And then Rayhan surprises the car guys by just getting into the back of their car and surrendering himself.
Yeah.
One of the car guys then calls their boss Vikram, who is in the midst of a raid. He's like, I don't even know if he works for, like, basically the FBI of India or if he's a cop. I don't know what he is. But yeah, he's some kind of law enforcement.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's higher up. But he also has access to, like, talk with all of the law enforcements of all these other countries. So, who knows?
Well, I was trying to remember what the thing is that Hrithik is in war. Like, what is that?
Oh,
that
not
is
an SIS.
Actual but entity, and I don't remember what it is. But that's what I feel like they would have said he was.
Yeah,
but they didn't.
It's not that hard. We've seen it happen in movies before where I usually kind of skip right over it because I'm like, I don't know what that is. But at least they say it.
At least I feel like it's a real thing.
Yeah. But whatever. Vikram tells the car guys to bring Rehan to the airport. So at the airport, Rehan pretends to take a nap, and the car guys sit down to watch him, but he ends up sedating them. They fall asleep. He steals a passport. He gets back across the border to India.
Yeah.
Whoops. And Vikram's like, what would even bring him back to Mumbai? This is weird. Rehan then goes to Rajan's house to talk with him, and Rajan explains that he wants him to steal the Red Sun, which is worth more than 500 crore. It's currently going on a world tour, but next week it's coming to Mumbai. But Rehan says it's impossible to steal because that museum is unhackable. He then asks where Rajan will sell it once he has it. And this is when we learn that the raid that we saw Vikram on was at the home of a rare jewel seller who's now in prison. Mm-hmm. So there's only one person left to sell this diamond, a guy named Musa. But there's bad blood between Rajan and Musa, so Rehan wonders if Musa will even agree to work with Rajan. Rajan tells him to worry about stealing the jewel, and Rajan will deal with what happens after. Rajan then says that Rehan must stay at his house until the job is done so that he can keep an eye on him. And that first night, Rehan sees through a window that Rajan is beating his wife, Farah.
Yeah.
Which is very night manager.
Very night manager, and also just like... I just wasn't expecting it, and I didn't want it. I was just like, no.
Honestly, I feel like, look, I love women. I like women being in film, but yeah. I like women being in film in a good way.
Yes.
And her character, there was no reason for her to be there.
She is literally an object in this movie. Like, this is the literal definition of objectification.
Right.
Is this character in this movie.
Yeah. And if you're going to do that, you might as well just not have her character.
Yeah. Like, what was the point? And I fully agree. I'm like, if you, like, I always want women to be doing things, but yeah. not just when they're only being used as a pawn in someone's game. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah. But this is our love interest, everyone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The next morning, Rehan approaches Farah, who is painting in the yard. We're going to get to that in a moment. He says that he recognizes her from meeting in a Delhi art gallery a few years ago. And they have a little back and forth before Rehan receives a call from Rajan. So sidebar, this woman is painting a view of the Duomo in Florence.
Indeed,
and I was like, wow, that's super detailed.
Yes.
She must be working off of a photograph
yes.
or something. There are no photographs. There's
no.
just a weird collage of various
of like pictures. Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, well, she's operating off of memory. This is a stretch, but like, fine. And it turns out she's never actually been to Florence. So
uh-huh.
she's not operating from a photograph or a memory.
This is just her internal assumptions of what the Duomo would look like.
It's
based on
like,
these pictures.
Yeah, and it's also like a fully done painting.
Yes, and she's just like, do, 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 do.
And I thought when, you know, he comes out on the into the yard and there's like a garden, I thought she'd be painting a garden scene.
Yes.
No.
No. No.
It was such a weird choice.
It's very weird. I also, has the Belladonna come up yet?
Oh, yeah, it happens in this scene.
It just was so weird. Anyway, that's not important.
Yeah,
but it was
no.
just, it just was very forced, like, the whole, like, the,
yeah.
it's like, okay, well, clearly this is gonna come back.
But then they actually used it way more than I thought they would.
It came up a lot.
It came up, like, several times. Yeah, and I was like, wow.
A lot of Belladonna.
Yeah. But so then Rehan goes to the museum in Mumbai to scope out all of the security, and he determines that there are only 4 guards at night, so that's the best time to steal the Red Sun. But it won't be guards they'll have to contend with, it will be lasers. Mm. Now at this point, I was like, ooh, cool, we're gonna have like an entrapment situation where he's gonna have to dance through some lasers, like
yeah.
I'm here for that. He also at one point mentions like the guards can walk through the lasers because they have like biometric scans. And
yeah.
I was like, okay, you're going to hack in and get your biometric
yes!
scan in there.
I thought all this too.
But no, everyone, no. These are just facts that
yep.
they're just sharing for no reason. Because his plan is just to reset the museum's mainframe back to its original setting, which was designed in Silicon Valley, USA, which means it will revert to West Coast USA time, so it'll think it's daytime when it's actually nighttime in Mumbai. This will somehow turn the lasers off for just 6 minutes, and in that time, he will only have to deal with the four guards, and he can steal the jewel. And I was like, this is absurd.
It's so much information for so little payoff.
Yeah. Why would you give us the biometric stuff if you're not just going to have him put his system? Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
And clunky. And like, it made me think that like they thought they were being clever.
Yeah.
But they do, in order to do that, need the password to the system. And only one person has it. Jennifer, the director. So they'll need to steal that. We then see Rehan furiously swimming laps at the house as he remembers the day that his father kicked him out of the house for being a thief. And Rehan got mad at his father for being a doctor but not able to save his mother. That felt not fully explained.
Yeah, that really, this is where I was like, okay, Rehan, I don't, like, I'm sure your dad did everything he could to, like, save his wife. And, like,
yeah,
sometimes even people with money die and can't afford treatment to save them. Like, sometimes you just are going to die.
it was like the writers were like, we're telling you he's mad about this, just accept it. But it's like, well, but it's not believable, though.
You know, you could have taken out two or three layers of the laser thing and instead given us some more emotional depth here.
Exactly. Also, because, like, this happened, like, this argument happened, like, 3 years ago. And again, I don't know how old Rehan is supposed to be, but Saif Ali Khan is 52.
Yeah.
Are you really gonna be like a man in your late 40s having this argument with your father?
Yeah. I didn't realize that the fight was that recent. I had in my head been thinking it was like way earlier. So
they've
that makes
been
it
no contact for 3 years.
Yeah. That makes it seem very silly. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, so Baba ended up slapping Rehan, and the whole thing was rough.
Yeah.
But after Rehan gets out of the pool, he encounters Farah again, who randomly is like, oh, you were right. I was that girl that you met in that Delhi art gallery. And it's like, okay.
So?
I don't know why that mattered. Whatever.
Can I say one thing? I did write down that Rehan's shorts in this scene are, they're not as short as Jim's shorts.
Oh.
But they are close. They are getting up there.
I didn't even notice. I must have been looking down writing notes. Well, because I was just like, yeah, he's swimming, like, whatever.
And I think because they were white, too. I was like, I was kind of on, like, high alert, you know, gym shorts. It but was not really gym shorts.
Yeah,
gym shorts.
Not gym shorts, but gym, comma, shorts. It was really in that scene, the original gym shorts scene, it was really him just rising out of the water and realizing, like, oh my God, you expect his shorts to go farther down, and they don't. They just stop.
And then you think that they're, like, clinging the way that shorts do sometimes in the water, but no, they just are that
just
short.
They're really tiny little shorts.
Yeah.
Huh. Good observation. I'll have to rewatch Drewby.
Just watch the one scene for the shorts.
Then Rajan and Rehan are on a yacht when Rajan hands Rehan special glasses that have a camera in them so that Rajan can see everything that Rehan sees during the heist. And Rehan outlines his plan. The day that the Red Sun arrives, he'll slip into the main hall during a 4-second window when the cameras have a blind spot. And at the same time, Rajan's right-hand guy will steal an access card from a guard, which he'll pass to Rehan so that Rehan can get into the administrative rooms. Mm-hmm. Jennifer, the director, will be out on her rounds, so he'll use that time to slip into her office. And meanwhile, Rajan's guy will knock out the guard in the maintenance room and shut down all the power, causing alarms to go off. Jennifer will come back to her office to input the password to stop the alarm, and Rehan will see which keys she used for the password. So that's how he's going to do it. Mm-hmm. This plan all happens without many issues, and then Rehan has 3 days to crack the password based on the numbers and letters that he collected from Jennifer's keyboard. Next, Rajan calls the jewel seller, Musa, and Rajan tells him to bring a buyer for the Red Sun, and in turn, he'll make sure their previous accounts are settled. But that night, Rajan leaves the house on business, and Rehan and Farah go out for dinner together. And while at dinner, Rehan actually sees Baba walking across the park.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And Rehan and Farah have an emotional exchange about their parents, and he says that he'll steal both the Red Sun and her, and there's nothing Rajan can do about it. And then he kisses her.
Yeah. See, this, like, I didn't like that he was like, I'm gonna steal you away. I'm like, this is a woman who's being abused by her husband.
Yeah.
Like, how about we get a, you know, and also, like, in the scene in the garden with the painting, he's, like, getting really close to her, like, really in her space. And I'm like, I don't think this woman wants that from you, really. Right. And now you're just like, I'm gonna steal you away. And I'm like, I would have enjoyed this more if you had given me any reason to think. Like, if you're going to say that they met before, say that they had a thing, you know? Right. Maybe they met in Delhi and had a one-night stand, and now they're together again. Like, then I'm into it.
Well, and I think they were, I think they really brought up the whole Delhi art gallery just because they were trying to make a point, maybe. Like, she was this independent woman who had this successful life. Because he also at one point asks her, like, well, why did you marry this man?
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, I'm like, these are elements that could have been good and could have contributed to a character depth.
Yeah.
But it didn't. We didn't actually see that. So
Yeah. To have a woman who, like, went from being independent to being, like, abused and controlled by her husband, and then to just have another man come in and, like, rescue her away is just really doing a disservice to the reality of that situation for a lot of people. Like, I just, it was just all so unnecessary and so poorly handled.
And clearly written by men.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, not necessarily, not bad men. It's just like, you just don't necessarily think of the way that a woman would actually feel in this situation.
Yeah. Like, if you pitch these things to women, they're going to have a different reaction to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so then there's a love song, whatever.
Yeah.
Rehan goes to a hotel where he makes a call and does some shady stuff. Again, we're kind of just getting glimpses of what's happening, and it's kind of annoying because you're like, either show me all of it or hide it and then reveal it at the end. But
agreed. Yeah.
Fine. Vikram is notified that Rehan's been seen, and he brings a bunch of cops to the hotel. And it turns out that Rehan is meeting with his hacker friend that he called earlier in the movie. This is the only other time she's come up since that happened.
Yep.
And they just walk away from the hotel before Vikram arrives. Don't know what they were doing.
Nope.
In the hotel room trash, Vikram finds a torn up piece of paper with Rehan's writing on it, working out possible passwords. Through his magical skill of deductive reasoning, Vikram is like, aha, he's trying to steal the Red Sun. This is like too much of a leap. You have to show us a little bit of the detective work that's going on here.
Yes. Yeah.
But whatever. So Vikram goes to the museum to talk to Jennifer, and she confirms, like, yes, that is my password. And she says that she'll change it, but Vikram convinces her not to because he wants to use it to catch Rehan.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's heist day. So coincidentally, there's a tunnel left over from the British, whatever that means.
I missed that. That's really funny. Those damn Brits. Yeah.
It's like pre-independence. The Brits made this tunnel into the museum. Who knows? But so that's what he uses to get into the museum. And he hacks into the system and resets it as planned. So he starts his timer for the 6 minutes and heads into the main gallery. Vikram is watching the security footage and he sees Rehan sneaking in, but he wants to catch Rehan red-handed with the jewel. As Rehan reaches the outside of the Red Sun gallery, he notices that the cameras are moving faster than before, and the 4-second blind spot is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And watching this, Vikram wonders, like, why is he hesitating? And Jennifer says, oh yeah, I fixed the camera blind spot this morning. And Vikram's like, no! Because Rehan obviously is like, ah, they know I'm here. And he says, not today. And he takes off running.
Mm-hmm.
So Vikram orders his guys to lock down the museum, but apparently they're all really bad at that. Like, how hard is it just to automatically lock all the doors?
I would have thought just with a push of a button.
Yeah, I would have thought that would be what it would mean. But, like, Rehan literally just runs through a door that looks like it has, like, an automatic locking system.
Yeah.
I'm like, this isn't even requiring cleverness on his part.
No.
This is just you being bad.
Yes, and, like, he's just lucky.
maybe you should have had more competent people trailing him this entire, like, time.
Yeah. That is also a thing that bugs me in heist type movies is like, yeah, if you want me to believe that you're that like our hero is really smart and clever and calculating, you can't have him only going up against dumb people.
Right.
Like, yeah, that's just not, I feel nothing for him then.
That's so true. Yeah. You want him to prove his intelligence.
Yes.
Yeah. Like a Dawn 2 situation.
Sure, yeah. Gosh, we gotta get on
we
the Dawn.
We really gotta watch Dawn. Luckily for Rehan, his friend is obviously a hacker, and she jumbles the CCTV footage so that Vikram can't tell where in the building Rehan is. And yet, Vikram takes off running and somehow immediately comes face-to-face with Rehan.
This was, yeah, very weird, very sudden.
Super convenient. And Vikram's like, gun. I got you. We're going to go have jail tea. And then Rehan just, like, swings his backpack at Vikram's face. Mm-hmm. And then they get into a fight. And I'm going to be honest. I was kind of, like, glad when there was a fight because then it meant, yes, I didn't have to pay attention. And so I can't even tell you if the choreography was good or anything because I, yeah, was just like, la, la, la.
I was about to say, I was glad there was a fight because I was like, finally, some action, something interesting, yeah, to look at. But I don't remember if it was good or not.
Right. I think I did write it's pretty cool. So I think it must have been like cool at times.
Good. Yeah.
And then Rehan escapes by jumping out a window and ziplining down to the street where his hacker friend picks him up. And she asks him how it went. And he says, just like I thought. And I'm like, yes, clearly this guy has a master plan.
Uh-huh.
And they drive away. In the aftermath of this failed heist, the prince that owns the Red Sun demands to have it back. And meanwhile, Rajan has his goons beat up Rehan. Rehan says he can still get the Red Sun. It's being taken back to London, but he can steal the Red Sun where there are no guards and no borders because he'll steal it in the sky.
What?
What? It made me think of in Doom 2 when the queen is like,
if I can see the sky, then the sky can see the diamond.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally, totally casual, normal thing for the queen to say.
Yeah, very, yeah, normal. Rajan points out the very obvious fact that the Red Sun's owner is a prince with a private jet, so Rehan puts a jammer on the private jet. It'll take a week to fix it, so the prince will fly a commercial instead. This would never happen. They would just charter another private jet.
Yeah. Another thing I was thinking about is, like, at some point when we're in the museum, we see it's like Africa Week, like the Africa exhibit, and it just made
you know
me
that
think,
small place Africa?
Yeah. You know, the like second biggest continent on the earth,
it's like the birthplace of civilization.
Yeah, just Africa. And it's also, it got me thinking about like in museums how like there will be museums that have like the Africa wing, but then they also have an Egypt section.
Yeah, Egypt's in Africa, y'all.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, what are we doing here? Like,
nobody knows.
Nobody. Well, yeah, none of the white people know, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely for sure. But yeah, so Rajan agrees to Rehan's plan, but he says that if Rehan messes up again, even by accident, he will kill Baba.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And so later that night, they shift into planning mode and they get more passports. And Rehan also says they'll need a woman on their team and on board the plane.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they, whatever, they didn't really need her, but
no.
Farah agrees to do it, so great. Rajan then has a meeting with Musa where they agree to be 50-50 partners and get rid of Rehan once he's finished being useful. Oh no. You know, I was just thinking about how, like, when you had read out your synopsis before, like, in preparation, like, at the end of last week's episode,
yeah,
it was, like, made it sound like there was going to be a lot of double-crossing and a lot
yes.
of, like, oh, I don't know who to trust. And this felt pretty obvious.
Yeah. Well, and I was remembering how you were like, oh, is it going to be, like, Bullet Train but on a plane?
Yeah.
And so I was, like, really excited for us to get on the plane. And then we
yeah.
finally got on the plane and it was still boring.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I was like, okay, the plane's where it's at.
Yeah.
And then I was still hopeful that it would be Bullet Train on a plane.
Yeah.
It was not. Bullet
no.
Train's actually a really good film.
Yeah. But you're absolutely right. Like, there's not, there is no intrigue here. There is no subtlety. There is no, like, suspense. It's just all kind of laid out there for us.
Yeah. And meanwhile, we see Rayhan break into the room of a high-ranking UK official to steal a briefcase. Huh. Rayhan then goes to his father's house and talks to him. His father still doesn't forgive him, but Rayhan says that as long as he is alive, he will make sure nothing bad happens to Baba. Baba says there's nothing worse than having Rayhan as a son.
Ouch.
Yeah. That's not great. Back at police headquarters, or wherever they are, Vicar hears his lackeys talking about the Red Sun returning to London. And he learns that the prince is flying commercial due to something happening to his private jet. So Vikram realizes, aha, this is because of Rayhan. I also want to keep saying Rohan.
Rohan, yeah.
So once again, Vikram has just like determined what Rayhan's plan is purely by guessing.
Guessing, yeah.
And so they all leave for the airport immediately. And as they drive, Vikram says, this was his plan all along. He wanted us to find that password paper and notify the museum. And that's because he always intended to steal the Red Sun from the sky. This whole is,
I mean, it
like,
is. It's the Red Sun. We must steal it from the sky.
That's true. The sun belongs in the sky.
It does. It's a celestial body.
Yeah. At the airport, the prince arrives, and he is assured that the Red Sun has been placed in a secure vault in the plane, and it will be picked up by MI5 in London. As everyone boards, Vikram runs through the airport, only to see the plane take off. So he has his guys send Rayhan's photo to the cabin crew to see if they can recognize him on board, and he then says he only has one option, which is to make it to London before Rayhan. You could just call MI5 and be like, hey, guys, here's the situation.
Well, that's true. And I thought about that on the way down, too. I was like, surely the flight from London or wherever he was in Europe to Mumbai is long. Like, were those police guys really sleeping for, like, 12 hours? And they could, so that, like, he was already, like, out of the Mumbai airport. They couldn't call and be like, hey, when you, this guy gets there, could you apprehend him? Like, anyway.
Yeah. It's, yeah, I have some questions about that. Also, he then was like, oh, it's cool. I know a rich guy who owes me a favor.
Oh, yeah.
Convenient. And I was like, okay, well, maybe we'll get more information about this. No.
No. Maybe in the sequel.
God. On the plane, one of Rajan's men sees that the crew members are looking at a photo of Rayhan. So that guy warns Rajan, who warns Rayhan, that they're looking for him. Rayhan says he'll have to disappear. So he swipes a flight attendant's access card so that he's able to get into the cargo hold of the plane. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, on the private jet, Vikram gets notified that the crew did not see Rayhan on their plane, and he's like, that's impossible! On the main plane, Farah changes into a flight attendant uniform, and she hands the prince a hot towel, which he wipes his face with. The towel has traces of belladonna on it, which knocks him unconscious, and she gives one to each of his entourage. She then pricks the prince with something that makes him sick, and she goes back to her seat as the prince calls out for a doctor. One of the flight attendants then approaches Rayhan, who's back in his seat after having been down in the cargo hold, and she asks him for his help with a passenger because his alias is a doctor. Rayhan examines the prince. I did actually kind of like this series of events.
Yes,
I was like,
okay,
this is interesting.
Yes, this is getting us somewhere.
Yeah, so Rayhan examines the prince, then says he must speak to the captain, and he tells the captain that the prince has appendicitis, and if they wait for the 3.5 hours that they have left before they land, the prince could die. He convinces the captain to land the plane at the closest hospital, which is coincidentally in Istanbul, which is where Musa lives.
Not Constantinople.
Exactly. Vikram's guy notifies him that the plane is now having an emergency landing in Istanbul, which Vikram finds suspicious.
Yes.
Vikram's whole thing is just to, like, loudly shout swear words after finding out new information.
He's a very reactive character. He's not a very proactive character.
No. So he tells his guy to call the Turkish police and have an armed unit meet and surround the plane. On the plane, Rayhan goes back to talk to the captain again, and he brings one of Rajan's goons. And they show the captain a video of his family being held hostage, and they tell him that he has to land the plane at the exact location in Istanbul that they tell him to, like, not the airport. Another little sidebar. So they made a point of showing that the co-pilot is a woman. And I was like, I love this. And, like, she introduced herself to the crew by name and was like, this is your co-pilot speaking, like, on your flight. I really thought she was going to be more of a character.
Yeah. They could have just had...
took the time to do that.
Yeah. They could have just had her be the pilot. Like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It felt weird that they took the time to introduce her. But
I agree. Yeah.
She, yeah, wasn't part of things. But anyway... Vikram, meanwhile, has connected in person with the Istanbul airport personnel, and they're ready for the plane to arrive, but then they learn that the plane has changed directions and will be landing in the middle of Istanbul in the Central Park.
Mm-hmm.
Musa's men have set up a landing strip in the park so that it's not pure darkness, which is good. And as this is happening, Rayhan goes to the vault in the plane and begins trying to crack it. And with 3.5 minutes to go, Rayhan is still working as the plane is coming in for a landing. And that's when one of the prince's security guys wakes up and enters the scene. And he starts fighting with Rayhan and Rajan, who's also here. And in the midst of the fight, the security guy punches the screen that Rayhan is using to break into the vault. Rajan and Rayhan are finally able to knock this guy out as the plane lands. And then the cops, who are driving over to the park, get closer. Rayhan has to crack the vault by hand, but he does it. He's mm-hmm. able to get the jewel. Huzzah. Rayhan, Rajan, and the rest of the crew get off the plane as the cops arrive at the park. The cops surround the plane, but they're too late because the heist crew has gone through a hidden trap door, like, in the ground.
Maybe that was also left by the British.
Yeah, maybe. In Istanbul. Who knows?
Tunnels everywhere.
So, yeah, that's, like... That was the end of it. Vikram is just like, and he walks away.
Yep. Darn.
Yeah. Later, Musa calls Rajan and lets him know that he's taking the Red Sun to the buyer, but Rajan shouldn't relax because he promised he'd take care of Rayhan. Meanwhile, Rayhan and Farah are together, having a moment, and Rayhan says it's time to say goodbye. So Farah tells him goodbye. But he says she shouldn't say goodbye to him, she should say goodbye to Rajan. After all, he said he'd steal both her and the diamond.
Like, does she have any agency in this? Like, I
no.
just...
No.
She's just a toy for these men to pass back and forth.
Yup. Rayhan then goes to see Rajan, and he tells him it's his turn to do his job and sign some papers, which I guess will somehow free Baba of any wrongdoing with the dirty money.
Mm.
Rajan does this, but then he says they should have a drink to celebrate. And so they do. And Rayhan then tells a story of a rabbit outsmarting a lion and becoming the new king of the jungle. I was kind of like, blah, blah, blah. We don't.
Don't you think if you were a villain and some guy who you had hired to do a job started to tell you a story like this, you would just be like, stop talking. Tell me what you did.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me how you think you double-crossed me.
Exactly. Oh, God. It was a long story,
too. It was so long.
Drawn out.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Rayhan then reveals that he knew all along he couldn't trust Rajan and that he would kill his family as soon as the job was done. That's why he made sure the heist happened in Istanbul, not Mumbai. He also reveals that he orchestrated Vikram's raid on the other jewel seller so that Rajan would have to reach out to Musa. Not only that, but he worked with the UK official to get a replica of the Red Sun made.
Mm-hmm.
That is the jewel that Musa currently has. When Rayhan went down in the hold earlier, he cracked the vault and switched out the jewels. So his UK person has the real Red Sun.
Mm-hmm.
We then see Musa at his meeting with the potential buyer who shatters the fake Red Sun. Oops. back with Rayhan and Rajan, Rajan leaps at Rayhan and they start fighting. And Rayhan ends up winning the fight and he ties Rajan up. Rayhan then leaves, but not before breaking a gas line so that the room fills with gas.
Which also just seemed like you could just kill him. I don't know. Just
yeah, that way you know he's actually dead. This is like the fatal flaw of all these people.
Yeah, again, it's the trusting that someone's going to make a choice that you don't know that they would actually make. Yes.
Yep. But Musa and his men show up, furious that they've been duped. Rajan says that he knows Musa will not let him live, so he should fulfill his dying wish, which is to have a cigarette. Musa gives him one, then Rajan lights up. He then tosses the lit cigarette into the broken gas line, and everything goes kaboom.
Poof.
Presumably, they all die. I say presumably because there's a sequel.
Yeah.
So who knows? And we see Rayhan riding away from this explosion on a motorcycle like a cool guy. Back in London, Rehan breaks into the UK official's house and steals the Red Sun again.
Uh-huh.
So now he has the jewel. And in Mumbai, Avi tells Baba that they're in the clear and that Rehan took care of them before anything bad could happen. And it looks like Baba is like, oh, that's nice. But I'm also like, you were only in this mess because of Rehan's job anyway.
This is true, yeah.
So
I would still be unhappy with Rehan.
Yeah. And then we see Farah and Rehan quietly celebrating their success at a bar and discussing their future together. And he says they can settle down in a house by the river, but she just smiles and shows him an artifact. And she's like, this is your next target, because we both know you want to con the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also like, is this you just trying to be like, this was a for now romance and this woman won't matter in the future? Because yeah. If so, I'm just like, she wasn't necessary.
No, yeah.
But whatever. Across the bar, Vikram's here.
Yep.
Because he has nothing else going on in his life, I guess.
No, for sure not.
Then he just watches Rehan, and they make eye contact and nod at each other as if they've been engaged in this epic cat and mouse game, but they haven't been.
No.
And then we get the words, the heist continues, and it's the end.
I'd rather it didn't.
Yeah. And then we get a dance number over the credits called Jadu, but not the Koi Bilgaya.
Jadu.
But I actually did. I thought the song was fun. You know, it was like catchy. It was,
yeah.
It was kind of fun to see Saif Ali Khan dance.
Yeah, that is fun. I didn't really process the dance number.
You were just like, thank God it's over.
I do remember thinking it was fun seeing Saif Ali Khan dance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I can only hope that the second heist film is better.
Yeah. You do raise a good point, though, that, like, did they just put that line in there from Farah so that they could have a different love interest in the sequel? And then in which case, like, she was even less, there was even less of a point to her even being here. So time will tell. I don't know if I want to commit to watching a second Jewel Thief movie, but we'll see.
I don't know. You know, I'm not going to say I wouldn't watch the sequel. If
they do end up making a sequel, which they clearly at this point are anticipating they will, we'll see.
Yeah.
It would be really fun to watch it with you.
Yes. And maybe that's when we don't do for the pod. We just get drunk and watch it.
And watch Jewel Thief 2 and the heist continues.
The heist continues. And then the third one, the heist ends. But wait, there's more.
But the heist continues once again.
Oh my god. But yeah, what did you research? Anything?
I didn't, but a couple of fun things to talk about. So, first of all, this isn't research, but it's something that I wanted to talk to you about, and this felt like a good week to bring it up. So,
okay.
About a month or so ago, I watched a movie starring N.T. Rama Rao Jr., who from one of the guys from RRR.
Yes.
And the movie was called Devara. It was his first movie since RRR, so, like, it was a big deal. And I saw that it was on Netflix, and I was like, I'll watch it. Like, I liked him. He was the not the main guy in RRR.
Not the cop guy. He was the nature guy.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And the so shepherd. I was like, that... I liked him better, so I'll watch a movie with him. But so it was fine. It was a very like style over substance kind of thing. But the reason I'm bringing this up to you is because I'm watching this movie and the villain looks so much like Saif Ali Khan, but it's a Telugu movie. So I was like, is this? And then I was like, he sounds completely different. And then I'm like, the movie is going on and on. I realize, okay, this is 100% Saif Ali Khan. And it is. It is Saif Ali Khan. But they dubbed him. So like, and he is like speaking Telugu on screen, but they dubbed another actor's voice over Saif Ali Khan's voice. And they, you know, there's a lot of dubbing in Telugu cinema. So like, that's not unusual, but it's the fact that it's not Saif Ali Khan doing his own dubbing that is so weird.
That you're like, that's what threw you because you're like, it's different voice.
And then I went and I was curious and I looked on Netflix at the Hindi dub and I'm pretty sure Saif Ali Khan does his own dialogue in the Hindi dub.
Right.
But it just is like, it's so weird. And I tried to like Google it to find out why, and there's really nothing about it on the internet. Like,
is it because, like, are they thinking Saif Ali Khan doesn't speak Telugu, so we have to get a Telugu actor to do that?
Well, what I wondered was, like, was his Telugu just really bad? And so, because, like, you know, we see a lot of actors from other industries doing movies in other industries, and even if they're not, like, 100% fluent in that language, you know, they still do it. But, like, was Saif Ali Khan just, like, so bad at Telugu that they dubbed? And that's what I wanted to know. I wanted to understand why that choice was made, especially if they kept his voice for the Hindi dub.
Right.
So, yeah, it was just so weird, and I needed to share it. I had meant to share it with you, and then when we decided we were watching this movie, I was like, oh, I'll talk about it then.
Okay.
But it was fun seeing him in that movie.
Yeah. Should I watch it?
No, it's not very good.
Okay, that's a bummer.
It was fine. N.T. Rama Rao Jr. fights a shark.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's the highlight. That's just go to watch that scene.
It was like confusing. There was like a lot of stuff going on, and it was like we could have simplified it a little bit. But anyway, it was fine. But yeah, okay. So obviously, this movie did not give me much to go on in terms of research.
right.
I did briefly think about like researching Indian museums, which would maybe have been interesting, but not as fun as what we're gonna do instead.
Okay.
So we're going to play a game.
Ooh.
I am going to give you a list of bad movies.
Okay.
And these are some, and all Hindi films.
Uh-huh.
Some are bad movies that we love and enjoyed. Some are bad movies that we hated. Uh-huh. Some we've talked about for the pod, others we haven't, but obviously all ones you've seen.
Yeah.
And then I am going to read you a review that I found.
Ooh, and I from, have to about guess? That,
and you have to guess. You have to match the movie to the review.
Okay, I like this.
The reviews are edited a teensy bit to leave out anything that would entirely give it away, but I definitely tried to find ones that give you a little bit of a clue.
Okay. Oh, I'm excited about this.
So I'm gonna text you this list. Oh wait, hold on. I have to. Okay. Let me just check something quickly. Okay. So, Katie, you now have this list of movies that I am going to read out so the audience can play at home if they wish to.
Oh, God. Okay.
So the movies are Student of the Year 2, Muna Michael.
Yeah.
Baby John.
Yeah.
Aladdin.
Oh, God.
Specifically the, you know, with Amitabh and Sanjay Dutt. Yeah. Circus. Dilwale.
Yeah.
Raw 1. And this fairy film, Jewel Thief.
Okay. Oh my God. I'm so... All right.
Okay. So, the first review. Every once in a while, a film comes along that reminds you just how valuable your time really is. Mainly because you spend the hours regretting every minute lost. This movie, whatever it was trying to be, fails on nearly every conceivable level from the moment the opening credits roll to the merciful arrival of the end. So disappointing that a veteran actor could be a part of such a lame script. And that is a 3 out of 10 stars review on IMDb from user Shahzad Javed Sate. What movie do you think that was reviewing?
Well, it's either going to be Aladdin, Dwale, or Raw 1. Because I'm going to say it's either relating to Amitabh or Shah Rukh, but Amitabh is the prime veteran actor, so I'm going to go with Aladdin.
Incorrect.
Oh, I swore! Shoot! What was it? What was it?
That was Jewel Thief.
Oh!
The veteran actor in question was Saif Ali Khan. Yes.
All right. I feel like Jewel Thief was better than Aladdin, if I'm being honest.
Okay.
But now next Jewel review. Thief is taken care of.
Jewel Thief is out of the running. Yes. Uh-huh. Okay.
All right.
Your next review. The script was cringeworthy, the dialogues were illogical, and everything was rubbish. Surprisingly, the newcomers gave a good acting performance. I really love blank, but it's high time for him to look at scripts before signing. That is a 1 out of 10 star review on IMDb from Taran Arana. What is that review?
I'm going to guess Student of the Year 2.
Correct!
Yes! I knew that there were quite a few debut actors yes. in that one. Mm-hmm.
That was the piece that I thought would help give it away. Okay.
I love one... Student of the Year 2.
I know. Student of the Year 2 is fun, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so your next review.
Okay.
This movie should have been released in the month of April. We could have laughed it off as a Fool's Day gag, considering the content, the inflated ticket prices, and nonstop TV branding. Blank is not SFX material, special effects material.
Mm-hmm.
His acting is his strength, but effects stole the limelight. That is a 1-star review from GV Santosh on IMDb.
I'm between Circus and Raw One, honestly. I'm going to go Raw One.
Correct!
Yes! Because I was like, they wouldn't have put that much money into marketing for Circus, yeah. but they would for a Shah Rukh film.
Good, yes, that is a good deductive reasoning there.
Love it. Okay.
You're doing great.
This is so fun.
Okay, so the next one. Great visual effects, famous actors, beautiful settings, but the script was not good. I wish they hired a proper screenwriter instead of planning the movie storyline on a kitchen napkin. Could not watch till the end. And that's a 2 out of 5 star review on Amazon from John Smith. And then here's a quick additional 2 out of 5 star review from Laksh Bandi, which just said, children might like it.
Yeah, Diwale.
No. Incorrect. That one is Aladdin.
Oh, that would make sense.
But I totally see why the famous actors thing. And the beautiful settings. Yes.
Yeah. I just love Diwale.
Diwale was a good guess there. But okay, Aladdin struck from the list.
Just to catch people up, we're down to Muna Michael, Baby mm-hmm. John, Circus, and Diwale.
Yes, and you've gotten two right, two wrong.
Okay. Whew.
Okay, next. The superhero-like heroism in the fight and dance sequences stretches believability, often pulling the audience out of the experience. While some moments provide spectacle, they fail to maintain the emotional crescendo necessary to sustain the film's momentum. The predictable climax, punctuated by Blank's tired cameo, ends the roller coaster ride on a disappointingly flat note. That is 4 out of 10 stars on IMDb from Yash Raj. Not Yash Raj.
Cameo.
Mm-hmm.
See, originally I was like, Muna Michael, but I don't think there was a cameo at the end of Muna Michael, but I know there was a cameo at the end of Baby John, and I know that I felt I just wanted it to be over at that point. So I'm going to say Baby John.
Correct!
Yes.
The blank in question was Salman Khan.
Yes.
Okay, next.
All right.
Not even one person from the huge ensemble cast makes you laugh or even smile. The movie feels like it's taking the audience for granted. I feel disheartened and upset from watching this movie and buying a ticket of 600 rupees, so much so that the gourmet popcorn worth 500 rupees felt more worth it. That is 1 out of 10 stars on IMDb from Tiki Tiki Nimbo.
That's fun. Also, it's not a bad day if you're eating gourmet popcorn, you know?
I agree. I love popcorn.
I'm going to guess that was Diwale.
Incorrect.
It was Circus?
It was Circus.
Ah, man. I was trying to think if I'd consider Circus as having an ensemble cast, but I honestly couldn't remember any other big names other than...
Yeah, I know. I do feel like it was really Ranveer, and then
Deepika showed up.
Deepika showed up, and then it was like Pooja Hegde and Jacqueline Fernandez were the
people
two...
People you recognize, but not necessarily, like, I don't know, I don't know. Like, you know, ensemble cast, I would think of, like, Shah Rukh, Kajol, like, I don't know.
It's as much about, like,
different, but yeah.
Yeah, it's as much about, like, the amount of time like screen yes. time each character has as the actors, and I don't remember really many other people having much screen time in Circus.
Yeah.
But that's yeah. also just could be me misremembering Circus because I never want to watch it again.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So now I'm still like 50-50.
Yes.
But you're if 50-50. I can get this final one right, I get the other one right too.
Yes, yeah, because there's you've only got two left and two reviews.
All right, and Muna, Michael, and Diwale are fairly different, so...
Yes, so let's see how you do. Okay.
Okay.
Here's your next one. I'm going to give you the title of the review, which is Blank is Rolling Over in His Grave. And then this is the review. It is evident that the writers wanted to make a comedy film, but also wanted to spice it up with gimmicks of dance and some old school hero villain elements. All things considered, there is not an iota of logic in the proceedings. And that's 3 out of 10 stars on IMDb from Nair Tejas.
Yeah, I feel like that's Muna Michael.
Correct. Yes. That is Muna Michael.
Because I'm assuming they were thinking Michael Jackson's rolling yes. over. Yes.
Exactly. Okay. Yep.
Great.
And now to end things on a positive note, here are 2 5 out of 5 star reviews on Rotten Tomatoes for Diwale.
Good. Yay.
Because we love Diwale. We do. I felt like, so this is a celebration of Diwale. After a long time, we got to see Shah Rukh and Kajol chemistry again. Just for that, I would give this 7 stars if I could. Yeah. And then the next one, SRK and Kajol magic remains. They were so cute, and Shah Rukh Khan was once again handsomely charming. He pulled off every look, and Kajol was absolutely stunning.
Yeah. Diwali's a great film. It's a great bad film.
Yeah, exactly. It's wonderful. Now,
I love it.
Here's a bonus.
Okay.
The bonus is to put these movies in...
Oh, IMDb order.
Descending order, yeah, for their rank out of 10 on IMDb. So basically, like, rank these movies... From best to worst, yeah.
Gosh. All right, well, I know what I'm putting at the bottom. I'm weirdly gonna put Raw 1 first.
Okay.
Followed by Diwale.
Okay.
See, it's also impossible to not let my personal bias get in here.
That's okay. You know, your personal bias might not be far off from the public's. Well, right. Except in one notable instance.
Yeah. Followed by Baby John.
Okay.
And then I'm actually going to put Jewel Thief in there. And then Aladdin.
Okay.
And then Muna Michael. And then Student of the Year 2. And then Circus.
Okay.
I don't know if that's actually anything close to the real
You
order.
Were, you're actually fairly, so you got the top 3 correct, but in the wrong order.
Okay.
So you said Raw 1, Diwale, and then Baby John are 1, 2, and 3, and it's actually Baby John, number 1, with 5.2 out of 10.
Got it.
And then Diwale is second, 5.1, and then Raw 1 is 4.9.
Okay.
And then Aladdin is fourth, 4.7.
See, I was worried Aladdin might be higher up because kids.
Because the kids.
And Amitabh.
Yeah. Yeah, the kids and Amitabh. Those, they give it
They'll
the higher
getcha.
Rankings. And then Jewel Thief is next. So you had Aladdin and Jewel Thief reversed, but,
switched.
You know, middling was correct there. So Aladdin 4.7, Jewel Thief 4.1. And then surprisingly, Circus.
No. I refuse.
Yep. And then poor Tiger, both the Tiger movies are at the bottom. Muna Michael with 3.4 and Student of the Year 2 with 2.2.
Circus is way worse than both of those Tiger films.
I totally agree.
Like, yeah. No. I'll fight someone on that.
You can fight the people on IMDb who wrote those reviews.
Yeah. Oh, man. That was fun, though. Thank you.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. I thought that would be a fun way to just, you know, celebrate bad movies in all their forms.
Yeah. I enjoyed that. I did okay.
Good. You did very well, I think. I would say you did like a solid like 50%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Cool. Bollywood Star Watch.
I do have a couple of things.
Okay.
This is now a really long time ago when this episode is going to come out, but yeah. I do think we would be remiss if we didn't mention Shah Rukh Khan at the Met Gala.
Yeah, I didn't actually look up a picture of him.
Oh, man, you gotta. He looks amazing.
Oh, my God, he looks great.
He looks so good. And I really respect that he stuck to the theme. Like, yeah. That's always the biggest thing for me with the Met Gala is, like, are people just going to be like, well, I'm going to show up and look good? Or is it like, I'm going to show up and look good and be on theme? And he did it all.
Looks like a cool, sexy pirate.
He does look like a cool, sexy pirate. He looks amazing.
What a statement, man, you know?
I know.
I also love his, like, cane.
Yes.
He looks so good.
He looks great. His outfit is phenomenal. If I had thought about it, I would have written down the designer who he worked with, but I didn't.
This is great.
But he was not the only Bollywood adjacent star there. There was a lot of great Indian representation, including Diljit Dosanjh, Kiara Advani, who was there, and she's very pregnant, which and she looked great, and she had like a little thing, like a little heart on her belly, which was cute. And of course Priya was there with Jonas, and she looked great. She also, like, the theming was great there for both of them.
Oh my god, they look great.
They do.
What was the theme?
So the theme, I don't remember how they specifically phrased it, but the gallery exhibit is on Black dandyism.
Okay.
So it was very much about, like, tailoring and menswear.
I mean, I was like, she looks like straight out of, like, Parisian, I don't even know. She looks so good.
Yeah.
But so does Nick, but, like, come on.
There were a lot of other, I mean, you know. Bollywood related, but it was really fun this year. Like, just, I thought there were a lot of people who nailed it with the just, like, showing off really amazing precise tailoring, which isn't something I feel like a lot of times menswear fashion is less interesting than women's fashion. And so it was just fun to see menswear celebrated in that way.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay, that's very cool.
Yeah. I assume you didn't have any Bollywood.
I don't. So if you have more, go for it.
I have one more very exciting piece of news that just came out today that we're recording it, so it'll be several weeks late
fresh
when this episode comes out, but whatever. So, War 2 is coming out on August 14th.
Oh my god, that's so soon! Yep.
I know. There. Now, before you start Googling things, let me say some more stuff.
Okay.
There's an extremely epic teaser where the only part of it that really stuck out in my mind was Hrithik walking next to a wolf.
Like,
he's just got a wolf with him. Maybe a dire wolf. I don't know.
Maybe a werewolf.
Maybe. And
maybe it's Brahman.
Are we bringing in the Stree universe that's connected to the war, to the spy cinematic universe? And Kiara Advani, who we just talked about with the Met Gala, is also starring in this, which is great. She's going to be the lady.
Awesome.
We gotta have a hot lady in the mix.
Gotta have a hot lady.
And I just brought up N.T. Rama Rao Jr. as well. He's also in it. Now, do you remember, like, 2 years ago, it came out that he was in this, and we talked about it on the podcast, and then we found out that he wasn't. He came out and was like, I'm absolutely not in War 2. I don't know where those rumors started.
He's
in it!
Oh, what a roller coaster.
Yes, and so my first reaction, like, seeing the movie poster is like, that is N.T. Rama Rao Jr. I thought he wasn't in this.
But he is.
So it's a masterful misdirect on the part of the Spy Cinematic Universe producers.
That's great. I am... Yeah. What a surprise. It's coming out in August. That's so soon.
I know. And what was funny is when I was doing all the IMDb stuff for the game, I was looking at Hrithik movies to see if there. He's not in that many bad movies, so it was hard to find ones for him. But, like, I saw in his, like, upcoming movies, War 2, and I was like, oh, I wonder when we're going to get that. And then literally the next day, today on Instagram, I saw that it had been posted. So it's happening.
Yeah, and Aditya Chopra wrote the story.
Yeah, so we know we're in for some... hope we're in for some good stuff.
It's so good! Oh,
it's excellent.
God.
Yeah.
I
do hope maybe Tiger's villain character from War 1 will have a small part in it. That would be great.
Up.
Yeah, I'd love that, but we'll see.
Just a little cameo.
Just a little cameo.
Amazing. I am beyond excited. Like,
I know.
Yeah. Great. Okay.
So.
Yes. Pluggables.
Oh, yes. I forgot about pluggables.
Yes. Follow us at Two White Girls Talk Bollywood on Instagram. Do what you do there. Also consider subscribing to us on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. You could even think about leaving a review, which is always very helpful. But regardless of what you decide to do or not do, we appreciate you for listening. So thank you so much.
We appreciate you in a big way. And join us on YouTube and Spotify, where we keep our Bollywood bangers playlists. That's where we add songs that we love from the movies that we watch. And we link the playlists in our episode descriptions, as well as in our Instagram posts.
Yes. So,
yes. Next. Since we're in June now, and June is Pride Month, and we've always tried to have some LGBTQIA plus representation in our June movies, we are going to be watching not a Bollywood movie.
No.
But still a movie that feels relevant to what we talk about on this podcast. A Nice Indian Boy.
Yeah. Which we have brought up before.
Yes.
And I'm excited that it's now, like, available for us to rent.
Yes. Me too.
Yeah. It'll be good. I'm excited to go from, like, a big, well, to call it a big flashy action film kind of misrepresents Jewel Thief, but you know what I mean, to, like, go to a, maybe what is going to perhaps be a bit quieter and more emotional.
Yeah. I feel like we've been swinging back and forth that way a lot this year, and I really like it. I think it makes it, you know, I sometimes get a little drained by movies that are, like, meaningful, which is why I do watch a lot of trash in my spare time. Yeah. And so I like the having the balance makes it me, like, really excited about the more, like, meaty movies.
Yeah.
So on IMDb, our plot description is, when Naveen brings his fiancé Jay home to meet his traditional Indian family, they must contend with accepting his white orphan artist boyfriend and helping them plan the Indian wedding of their dreams.
Why does it matter that he's an orphan? Maybe because he doesn't come from as big of a family?
He was raised by an Indian couple.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Got it. The Amazon Prime synopsis is similar but added some things.
Okay.
So I'm going to read it. Because, again, it is available to rent or buy on Amazon Prime. And the synopsis is, when Naveen, a soft-spoken doctor, finally brings his charming white artist fiancé, Jay, home to meet his traditional Indian family, comic misunderstandings and emotional revelations put everyone on edge. Despite facing uncomfortable truths about their own ideas of love and marriage, the family attempts to plan the big Indian wedding of Naveen and Jay's dreams.
It seems like there'll be some interesting relationship stuff, interesting cultural stuff.
Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to it. I'm also excited to see the actor playing Naveen, who was in Deadpool. He's fun. He was just in a movie I watched, actually, on the plane coming home from my vacation the other day.
Oh, nice.
So that was fun to see him. And so I'm excited to see him in a, like, more starring role.
Yeah, definitely. And Jonathan Groff, too. Karan Soni is that actor and Jonathan Groff. We like them both.
Yes.
Yay.
Yeah. So great. I'm excited. So until next time, remember, Bollywood doesn't need us.
No.
But we need Bollywood.
Good, bad, anything in between.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes the really, really bad ones could leave, but that's okay.
That's true. Yeah, and it's bad in the way,
something to talk about.
Bad where it's fun bad and not where it, like, takes over too much of the good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
A balance of good and bad is what I mean.
Yes. Good and evil.
Keeps the world, you know.
Great.
Bye.
Bye.